Welcome to a Burning Fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. I read to you selected portions from 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and also chapter 13. The Apostle Paul wrote, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same God who worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another, divers kinds of tongues, to another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, and secondarily prophets, and thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Now there abideth these three, faith, hope, and charity, but the greatest of these is charity." Now the Old Testament prophets pictured the Christian age as one in which the Holy Spirit would be very prominent. Joel had said that God would pour out His Spirit on mankind and they would prophesy, Joel chapter 2. Peter said the events of Pentecost were the fulfillment of Joel's prophecy, Acts chapter 2 and verse 16. Beginning that day, the Holy Spirit worked in an extraordinary way in the early church. Christians were able to do things that they could not have been able to do without the spiritual gifts granted unto them through the power of the Holy Spirit. And how did people come into possession of these gifts? Well, the apostles had been promised the coming of the Holy Spirit, John chapters 14, 15, and 16. They were baptized in the Holy Spirit on Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. And from the 8th chapter of Acts, we learn that through the laying on of the hands of the apostles, others could perform these wonderful deeds. Philip, who could perform miracles, was not able, however, to impart this power on others, Acts 8 and verse 17. And the same is true in Acts chapter 19 and verse 6 regarding Paul and the brethren at Ephesus. The apostles not only had the power of spiritual gifts, but they, exclusively, had the power to impart this ability to others, Acts 8, 18 through 21. And from this fact, we know that nobody today has these gifts because nobody today has come in personal contact with an apostle. This is one of the reasons we know that the day of the miraculous friend has passed. But more on that as we proceed. We need to distinguish between the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the power of spiritual gifts. The Lord was the administrator of the baptism of the Holy Spirit on those to whom it was promised, namely, the apostles. Others, upon whom the apostles laid their hands to impart the power of spiritual gifts, they were not baptized of the Holy Spirit. They were enabled to perform the wondrous deeds such as were listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul wrote to the brethren so that they would not be ignorant nor confused as to the use and the purpose and the duration of these gifts and their significance. Gifts were granted for the purpose of doing something. They were not granted to change one's character. Even Balaam, an evil man, had the gift of prophecy. Judas had the power to perform miracles as one of the part of the ministry that he went out to do before he betrayed the Lord. Spiritual gifts did not denote character, although most to whom such power was given were God's people, but not all. We read even how Caiaphas prophesied, and he was certainly not commendable before God. Now to the primary thrust of this particular lesson, and that is what these gifts were, and what those who had them were able to do. All the gifts came from the same source, the Holy Spirit, but each gift was distinctive. The word administrations or ministrations in 1 Corinthians 12:5 indicate that their purpose was to minister. They were not to be used for personal glory, or to gain a personal financial fortune, or for pleasure, or to demonstrate power, or for a show. They were given so that those who possessed them might render a service. And how different from so many who claim to have these gifts today. There were the gifts of wisdom and knowledge, and this was the ability to know and reveal divine truth. The early church had no New Testament scriptures such as we have. The gospel was not fully written and recorded. Those with these gifts enabled them, however, to know what the will of God is. And the gift of faith was not the kind of faith that comes from the Word of God. It was a miraculous faith to empower them to do the impossible, or otherwise impossible, except God was with them. We shall see, without a more detailed distinction given in Scripture, that some of these gifts seem to overlap. We may as well recognize that we do not know fully what some of these gifts may have included. And the gift of faith certainly is one of these. There were the gifts of healing and miracles. Some could heal the sick, and it was a miraculous act that they did. They could make the blind to see, the lame to walk, the dead rise again. None would doubt that such is miraculous. Just exactly what is the difference between the gift of healing and the miracles is hard to determine, unless the gift of miracles went beyond the ability to heal, even to the power of striking one blind, or shaking off a poisonous viper, or even walk on the water. The apostles were able to do these things. The gift of prophecy included both foretelling the future and preaching the gospel. A prophet is one that speaks for another. They were teachers of the will of God. They were guided by the Holy Spirit in what they taught. And the discerners of spirits were those who could distinguish between what was true and what was false, between true teachers and false teachers. And again, we note that there was no written word by which one could compare what he heard from some teacher. But the early church was not left helpless to be able to detect false teaching and false teachers, because those with the gift of discerning spirits were able to detect them. Such a gift was for the protection of the early church. And there were divers kinds of tongues. 1 Corinthians 14:22 teaches that tongues are for a sign to the unbeliever. Therefore, these tongues had to be something spoken that was understood. Friend, the tongues of the Bible were not unintelligible jabber and incoherent babbling and some emotionally induced utterances of vowel signs. They were languages that people could understand. They were not the same kind of so-called special prayer language that some claim today. Those with the true gift of tongues could speak in languages that were neither normal nor native nor natural to them. They had not learned them. But they were able to speak in various languages because of the power of the Holy Spirit. The usefulness of this gift is obvious in a world of many languages, many tongues. Those contending for the ability to speak in tongues today are a far cry from what we find in the Bible. They do not do those things that they did in the first century when they spoke in tongues. The early church tongue speaking was genuine, but that which is done today is fake and counterfeit and false and a pretense. The gift of interpretation of tongues was the power to explain what the speaker of tongues was saying to those who had not learned in the tongue that he was using. He gave the meaning of the speaking. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 shows that interpreters were not always active, but only when they were needed. Now these gifts were used in the early church for the purpose of confirming the word, verifying the truth, ratifying it, Mark 16 and verse 20. All these gifts being used together in the aggregate enabled the early church to prove the doctrine was supported and that it was God's Word. And since the New Testament was not yet written, men could not search the Scriptures of the New Covenant to know what was true and false. Nonetheless, the church was provided a means to document and substantiate the teaching. Now, it's not the purview of this lesson to deal extensively with the design and duration of these powers, but it is necessary to note that the very chapters that mention these gifts also teach that they would cease, they would fail, they would vanish away. There would come the time when tongues would no longer be needed. Miraculous wisdom and knowledge would have served their purpose. These gifts were to last until that which is perfect is come. Now, that's not until we reach heaven, nor is it until Jesus comes again, and certainly not until we all believe alike. They would continue until the full revelation, which was being given in parts, was fully delivered. They continued until there was the perfect, whole, complete, unified, total will of God through Christ, committed to the all-sufficient, inspired, infallible, inerrant, authoritative Scripture. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. That perfect law of liberty is now before us in the Bible, James 1:25. The unity of the faith is existent in the Bible, Ephesians 4:13. These gifts were intended to last until the will of God was revealed and written and recorded and confirmed. It is an interesting side note to see how the record of the use of these miraculous gifts lessens as one continues to read the book of Acts. Love is the more excellent way, and is the superior to spiritual gifts. Do we believe in the miraculous? Yes, we believe the record of the miraculous given in the Bible. Do we believe in the miraculous being done today? No, because the purpose of the miraculous had been accomplished long ago. We believe in the miraculous of the Bible because the Bible, the Word of God, records them. We do not believe in the miraculous today because that same Word shows that they are no longer among men. Nor are there those who have been with the apostles. Nor do these so-called present-day miracle workers today do what was done in the New Testament record. We all are endowed with talents and abilities, but we're not to assume that these talents and abilities are what mistakenly are called spiritual gifts. Our talents and abilities are not miraculous in nature that need to be put to use in spreading the confirmed word. Such talents are God's blessings and our opportunities. But let us not seek that which was never promised to us, that which has served its purpose and has been taken out of the way, but rather let us use what has been given to us and be satisfied with the full and complete revelation of God's Word, which we find in the Bible. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.